You know what it is?
Black News, unfiltered.
Coming in hot. Yeah, straight up.
Unfiltered, uncensored, and unapologetically black. The black news stories that you need to hear. This is Black News Unfiltered with Bob Edwards. Welcome to this episode of Black News Unfiltered. I'm Bob Edwards. Bloody Sunday in 1965 was a day when my parents, and for most of you probably it was your grandparents, who got beat down, got their asses kicked, and murdered for our rights to vote today in 2024. There are evil forces in play in America that want to reverse laws and policies and take you back to the time to make America great again, for them and not for us. The story you're about to hear is some real shit that happened just a short time ago, and it happened in my lifetime. Use your right to vote every time it's time to vote, because they've got plans in place in many states in America to make your voting voice null and void. That's real talk. Davis, go ahead, tell the story.
This is Davis Jackson for Black News Unfiltered.
59 years ago on this date, March 7th, 1965, 25-year-old civil rights activist John Lewis led over 600 marchers across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, and faced brutal attacks by oncoming Alabama state troopers. Footage of this brutal violence collectively shocked America and galvanized the fight against racial injustice. The passage of the landmark Civil Rights Act of 1964, a few months earlier, had done little in some parts of Alabama to ensure black Americans of the basic right to vote. Perhaps, no place in America, Jim Crow policies had a tighter grip than in Dallas County, Alabama, where black Americans made up more than half of the population, yet accounted for just 2% of registered voting population. For months, the efforts of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, and registering black voters in the county seat of Selma had been unsuccessful. In January 1965, Martin Luther King Jr. came to Selma and gave the complete backing of the Southern Christian Leadership Council to this cause. Peaceful demonstrations in Selma and surrounding communities resulted in the arrests of thousands, including King, who wrote to the New York Times, "This is Selma, Alabama. There are more Negroes in jail with me than there are on the voting rolls." The rising racial tensions finally bubbled over into bloodshed in the nearby town of Marion, Alabama on February 18, 1965, when Alabama State Troopers clubbed protesters and fatally shot 26-year-old Jimmy Lee Jackson, a black demonstrator trying to protect his mother, who was being severely beaten by police. In response to this horrific demonstration of police brutality and civil rights violations, civil rights leaders planned to take their cause directly to Alabama Governor George Wallace by conducting a 54-mile march from Selma, Alabama to the state capital of Montgomery, Alabama. Despite Governor George Wallace's order to state troopers to use whatever means necessary to prevent and stop this march from happening, approximately 600 voting rights advocates and black citizens set out from the Brown Chapel AME Church on Sunday, March 7th. The march was led by Hosea Williams, who would represent the SCLC at the head of the march in Dr. King's absence, along with John Lewis and SNCC chairman and future U.S. congressman from Georgia. The demonstrators marched undisturbed through downtown Selma, where the ghosts of the past constantly permeated the present. As they began to cross the steel-arched bridge spanning the Alabama River, the marchers walked they could see the name of a Confederate general and Grand Dragon of the Alabama Ku Klux Klan, Edmund Pettus, boldly displayed in big block letters emblazoned across the bridge's crossbeam. Once Lewis and Williams reached the crest of the bridge, they saw trouble on the other side. A wall of state troopers, wearing white helmets and slapping billy clubs in their hands, stretched across Route 80 at the base of the span. Behind them were deputies of County Sheriff Jim Clark, some on horseback, and dozens of white spectators waving Confederate flags and giddily anticipating a showdown. Knowing a confrontation awaited, the marchers pressed on in a thin column down the bridge's sidewalk until they stopped about 50 feet away from the authorities. "It would be detrimental to your safety to continue this march," Major John Cloud called out from his bullhorn. "This is an unlawful assembly. You have to disperse. You are ordered to disperse. Go home or go to your church. This march will not continue." "Mr. Major, sir," Hosea Williams shouted, "I would like to have a word. Can we have a word?" "I've got nothing further to say to you, nigger," Major John Cloud answered Williams and Lewis as they stood their ground at the front of the line. After a few moments, the troopers, with gas masks affixed to their faces and clubs at the ready, they advanced rapidly. They pushed back Lewis and Williams. Then the troopers' pace quickened. They knocked the marchers to the ground. They struck them with sticks. Large clouds of tear gas mixed with the screams of terrified marchers and the cheers of reveling white bystanders. The sheriff deputies on horseback charged ahead and chased the gasping black men, women, and children back over the bridge as they swung at them with clubs, whips, and rubber tubing wrapped in barbed wire. Although they were forced back, the protesters did not fight back. Lewis later testified in court that he was knocked to the ground and a state trooper then hit him in the head with a nightstick. When Lewis shielded his head with a hand, the trooper hit Lewis again as he tried to get up. Weeks earlier, King had scolded Life magazine photographer Flip Schulke for trying to assist protesters knocked to the ground by authorities instead of snapping away. "The world doesn't know this happened because you didn't photograph it," King told Schulke, according to the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Race Beat, this time. However, television cameras captured the entire assault and transformed the local protest into a national civil rights event. It took hours for the film to be flown from Alabama to the television network headquarters in New York, but when it aired that night, Americans were appalled at the sights and sounds of Bloody Sunday. Around 9:30 p.m., ABC newscaster Frank Reynolds interrupted the network's broadcast of Judgment at Nuremberg, the star-studded movie that explored Nazi bigotry, war crimes, and the moral culpability of those who followed orders and didn't speak out against the Holocaust, to air the disturbing, newly arrived footage from Selma. Nearly 50 million Americans who had tuned into the film's long-awaited television premiere couldn't escape the historical echoes of Nazi stormtroopers and the scenes of the rampaging state troopers. "The juxtaposition struck like psychological lightning in American homes," wrote Gene Roberts and Hank Klibanoff in The Race Beat. Outrage at Bloody Sunday swept the country. Sympathizers staged sit-ins, traffic blockades, and demonstrations in solidarity with the voting rights marchers. Some even traveled to Selma, where 2 days later King attempted another march but, to the dismay of some demonstrators, turned back when troopers again blocked the highway at the Edmund Pettus Bridge. This time, however, television cameras captured the entire assault and transformed the local protest into a national civil rights event. It took hours for the film to be flown from Alabama to the television network headquarters in New York, but when it aired that night, Americans were appalled at the sights and sounds of Bloody Sunday. The events in Selma galvanized public opinion and mobilized Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act, which President Johnson signed into law on August 6, 1965. Today, the bridge that served as the backdrop to Bloody Sunday still bears the name of a white supremacist, but now it is a symbolic civil rights landmark.
Thank you for listening. This is Davis Jackson for Black News Unfiltered.
Coming in hot.